broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Thursday morning, December the 4th, 2025. 12:04:25, 11 and a half minutes past the hour, and we have got a special treat this hour here on WGH Talk. This is a tradition. I don't know how many years ago that we started this, but we've been doing it for a long, long time, and it's something we really enjoy doing here. Did you know that Santa Claus receives his mail this time of year in Santa Claus, Indiana? Now, here's the address. We'll give it a few times during the next hour. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now, our guest this hour is Santa's chief elf, Santa's favorite elf, who resides in Santa Claus, Indiana, and is the founder of the Santa Claus Museum and Village in Santa Claus, Indiana. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones, as we have done every year for many years now. It wouldn't be the holidays without our friend in Santa Claus, Indiana, Pat Cook. Pat, how you doing? Happy holidays.
I'm just fine. How are you? And I hope all our listeners are doing well. Staying warm. It's really cold out there, but I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
Now 94 years old and still carrying on the tradition. So happy to be here.
94 years old, Pat. What is the secret to getting to be 94?
Working really hard. I think of being interested in so many things and having a wonderful father, you know, who carried on the tradition of answering letters and helping children. And it's so exciting. And it's really all the wonderful volunteers that help with all the duties that Santa has this time of year, because, you know, he's busy getting ready to go and he has too much work to do. So we help Santa answer all the letters that children write, and he comes by to visit us. He's in the museum on weekends, and you have to look at the schedule. But anyway, he comes by to see us, and we're just so happy. I think we had, last night, we had a large group of foreign exchange students, students from Germany and Norway, and their sponsor, and that's really exciting because they learn English, and they can help us with foreign letters. And then a large group of people just from around Santa Claus. So it was busy and noisy, and we got a lot of letters answered. Santa will be really happy.
You know, Pat, with internet and everything we have now, social media, why do you think this tradition has kept up all these years?
Well, I hope it's because people, children, adults, everybody believe in Santa Claus. Santa Claus is, forever, and the spirit of Santa Claus is probably one of the most important spirits that we have in the Christian tradition, with St. Nicholas and the whole thing of being giving and being happy and joyful and thinking about others who are less fortunate. And I'm amazed that so many children are writing. In fact, I think this year that Santa will have a record number of letters. And Santa's really happy about that, and I am too, because children really don't write letters. They communicate by their phones or their internet or whatever device. And so I think it's all really good, Scott. They write a letter, or somebody helps them print a letter, and that's something that they really don't do normally. And then even the young people who come in to help Santa answer letters will have to learn how to address an envelope and things like that. So I don't really, and I know we had more people visit our museum this year, this summer, when Holiday World was open. And they write letters when they're visiting. So from that summer attendance, we we are really, I would say, overwhelmed, but we're working every single day, and we will keep working. So Santa wants all the letters answered, and we will give that the best try we can give.
You know, Pat, it is very interesting because most kids don't write letters. Most adults don't write letters anymore. I don't even think they teach that in school anymore. It's interesting that you're getting more letters than ever. Santa Claus is getting more letters than ever. But yet, kids don't even learn that anymore. But still, this is a popular thing.
Yes, it's amazing, I think. And I know the other thing that really impresses me is how much they pour out their feelings, tell us stories, tell Santa stories about how they feel about things or what's happening in their lives, in their letters. And that shows that there is a need for people to listen to children and know what's going on in their lives. They want Santa to fix everything, and he really can't, but he, of course, will try to help and give them some encouragement to continue on and not be discouraged. But I'm really happy. There was a year, oh gosh, many, I'm like, I don't keep track, but years ago when I decided, or somebody decided, that we would do email letters. Well, it was overwhelming because that is so easy. You just send out that email. You know, you don't have to sit down. But it was so impersonal because you didn't know anything about the person. Santa just saw a name, an age, an address, and maybe that was it. And when you get the letter, whether the child writes it or mother writes it for a baby or a three-year-old, there's a lot of information about that person. And then that helps in the answering of the letter. So I'm not against electronic world, but I think we must not be aware of the fact that it's the human connection through whatever words, I would say, and communicating other than just on that internet or through that iPad or whatever. I really believe that.
I think you're exactly right. What kind of things, aside from what the children are asking for, you say they talk about what's going on in their life and they give a lot of information. What kind of things are kids writing about to Santa in 2025?
Well, of course, like you said, the toys that are famous or that they really want, it's usually electronic stuff. But, of course, children write from very young. Oh, I would say maybe 5 or 6, and then mothers or grandmothers write for babies, or babies that aren't even born. But a lot of the children, I will give you an example. One little boy said, I hope I make the soccer team so my parents will be proud of me. And that really hurt, you know, because I thought, oh my goodness, I hope he makes the soccer team. And so that child is worrying about that now. Has he told his parents that? I don't know. And then there are the problems, and it's maybe not a problem, but it is a fact, that there are blended families because of divorces. And they often would rather live with a mother or a father than the person they're living with, and they tell Santa that, you know? Some of them are just like, I hate school, and that's really too bad. And Santa tries to encourage them to learn and keep on studying. So they really do share their anxieties, their worries, their concerns, but they also share their happiness. You know, I love my family. I love my dog. My grandma is the best, things like that. So you're getting, you know, the very happy and the very sad. And I also, just for the people who are listening, it's sad and wonderful when we get a letter from a person who is in jail asking us to write a letter to their child. And that person is thinking about their child at Christmas. And that's, I think, why the letters are so important. I really do.
Well,
there's a lot of emotion there. And I am amazed, and of course I do too, but how many families are writing that they wish the the son would talk to the parents, or that the brother is not coming to family meetings and things like that, that the families are broken up. And it really makes me sad, and I know it's true. So it's really very, it's we laugh, we cry, we worry, and we try so very, very hard and to encourage, because I think that's the real need in the world today.
You know, Pat, it's very interesting you bring up the aspect of the people who might be incarcerated writing to send letters to their children, and that's fascinating, because I think a lot of times we think of the people who are in those prisons or reformatories as not being caring and not thinking of other people. But the truth is, they might have done something bad. I know I did an interview years ago in our reformatory here, our maximum security reformatory, and I'll never forget asking one of the prisoners, what do you want people to know about you on the outside? And it's that they did something stupid, but they're not stupid. And I think your letters there echo that these are men with children, women with children, who maybe have done something wrong in their life, but they still care. And Christmas must be an awful time of year in prison.
It must be. Yes, I agree. And just to encourage them to, you know, continue to do well, obey all the rules, and perhaps you will be able to join your family someday. And grandparents who worry about the grandchildren, it's really, I think it's more fascinating. I think, you know, we have a collection of letters that were written from the 1930s on through the years. And it was much more simple, and I can remember one very well, because I often read it to guests, tours. And they're asking for mittens and underwear and socks and shoes and things like that, because they need it. And, of course, hardly anybody asks for that anymore. But now it's so much more emotion that the need, if you understand what I'm saying. The more the need, and you're wanting happiness, wanting joy, wanting the family to be back together and things like that. So it's really interesting. It has evolved, I think, from the basic of needing underwear and socks to needing love and peace and families being together. And that is probably one of the most important themes right now.
You know, and that's kind of interesting, because we have, there's a book that was published a few years ago called Letters to Santa Claus, and we have a copy of that here. And I want to read some of these letters throughout the decades during this interview, because I think it speaks to what you just talked about. And I have a letter here that was sent to Santa Claus in the 1930s, so we're talking almost 100 years ago. And the letter is very simple. It says, "Love, Ellen," on the top of the letter. And it says, "Dear Santa, wrap yourself up good so you won't catch cold, Ellen." And that's what people were doing in the 30s and thinking about. Right. It was a whole different mindset.
Absolutely. Completely. And we encourage, we really encourage, of course, like even the person that might be incarcerated, that for the children, and some of them say, "Well, I got in trouble, but I'm trying to do better." Well, really encourage that child. You're not a bad kid. You just need to keep working harder and be kind. And maybe they have nobody else to tell them that. We don't know, but that might be. So I think it's a very important, and I know it is, and that's why that there are so many, they're not rules, but to follow answering letters, and one of the most important ones, I think, is that the person answering is so absolutely sure they spell that child's name correctly. You know, Santa knows how to spell their name. So there are many ways to spell Megan. There are many ways to spell almost every McKenna or, different strange names. But that name has to be spelled the way Santa knows it is, right? And that's important to that child, I think. And that we say the right things to the child. I know sometimes the older people want to tell the child, be better, just do better. But it takes a little more than that. It takes some kindness and a little bit of thought to encourage the child. And, of course, the way Santa would, I think.
I think you're exactly right. I want to read one of these other letters. This is December 12th, 1939. And I think this letter is very, very important. It says, "Dear Santa Claus," and the penmanship people had in the 30s is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, this is the letter, December 12th, 1939. "Dear Santa Claus, I am a pretty big boy, 12 years old. Some of my pals say there is no Santa, but I just have to believe in him. And I'm hoping he will not forget me. My dad was a soldier in the World War. He got shot when he was a deputy sheriff. By gangsters that came after him. I have a stepdad, but he is so mean, he never buys me anything. Someday I will be a man, and I want to be brave. I like books better than anything, and I like boxing gloves and footballs. I hope you answer my letter, your friend Wilson." So a very, kids had issues in the 30s, and they told Santa Claus.
Yes, yes. And it's important that all those letters be answered. I think the thing we fight is, and I don't know how to overcome this, but sometimes that child probably writes that letter. I don't know if he puts it in the mail without the parents knowing it, but when there is no address, now Santa knows where they live and he's going to get there, but Santa doesn't have time to come and write all those addresses. So I'm begging people to please be sure there's an address. The only letter that doesn't get answered would be a letter with no address. Now, we look the addresses up, or the area, or the zip codes, and all of that. A great effort is made. But sometimes it's just impossible, because there's many, First Streets and Green Streets and all those same streets in different states. So that breaks our hearts not to be able to answer. So I hope that the parents help the child or try to look at it. Sometimes I think the parents have not seen the letter because they're complaining, the child is complaining about treatment or something like that. So it's just a really fascinating ministry we're doing. I think it is a ministry. And as I said, we have a room. It's very small. It's on the campus of the museum. It is the original post office building that was built in 1856 and has a fireplace in it and one big long table and an extra table. There's about 14 seats. But last night, I was counting this morning. I didn't count last night. We had, 7 exchange students and about 8 other people, maybe 9, plus my daughter, myself, and another volunteer. There were about 15, 16 people in that room, and it was very cozy. It was hard to move around, and so it would be very nice to have a large building where Santa could visit more often and we could write more and have more space. But that's in the future, we hope. So then we could really open up that room as a historic room. Research says that postmasters lived in the post offices when that was built in 1856. I'm sure that's true because it has a fireplace, and we had room for a cot. I'm sure there was an outhouse and a well, and so it's a very historic building that is being preserved, that could be shown at this point. The volunteers are there, so it really isn't open to visitors.
Absolutely.
Children visit, write letters right there in the other room, that's the beginning room where people walk in and put their mail.
And we do want to let people know again, the address is Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Pat, when do people need to have these letters out by so Santa can get them back to the kids by Christmas?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? So they got one day, 24 hours.
No. Here's the other bit of knowledge. Schools write letters. Now, I'm sure that's a great, great exercise for children. But, you know, one manila envelope might contain 45 names. And that is a very time-consuming work to be sure every name is checked off and that the helper can read the name. It is, and there's one gentleman that does those kind of by himself over the corner because it takes a concentration to do it. So those we'd like to get, please, if you're a teacher or tell a teacher, get them out soon because they go out in a large bundle of letters, and we want the children to get them before school's out for Christmas, okay? We have not set a day when we will quit. To tell you the truth, we just keep on. But we know, I think Christmas or Christmas Eve is Thursday, I believe. Am I correct?
Yes, it is.
And so there will be, that post office will be closed, I'm sure, Christmas Eve afternoon and Christmas Day. So we've decided as a group that letters like from Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Ohio, the surrounding states would be answered first because maybe they'll get there if we answer them like on the 21st, understand? But if it's from California, it probably won't get there. So we have worked hard to get a little postcard or a letter to send out after Christmas explaining that the letter came too late to be answered. It's painful for us not to be able to help Santa get them all out, but it isn't. People really should be getting them out real soon. I'd say, what is this, the fourth?
The fourth, yes.
It's the fourth, yeah. So I would say, like, by the 18th, for sure, 17th. And I know, mail gets slower at Christmas. I was in the Santa Claus post office night before last. It was packed already with people, visitors, mailing their Christmas cards and packages. So it's so busy. They have so much mail to handle. And so try to get them, 2 weeks in advance. I would say the 17th or 18th if possible.
Pat, you are 94 this year. How did this tradition start?
Well, we've done a lot of research, and we're pretty sure we're correct in that the first letters were answered by a postmaster named James Martin. There was a Martin family. Actually, when it came to Santa Claus, it was Martin. Many of the residents in this area came from Alsace-Lorraine, which is sometimes occupied by French and sometimes by German. So that's a very French name, but it evolved into Martin, and there are still Martin people living around that's their ancestor. And supposedly he was the first one who answered letters around 1914. But, we don't have any exact proof of that, just hints of that in different documents. But I think to say that it officially started, it would have been around 1930. I was born in 31, and my father came home from World War I in 1930 back to the area and saw how overwhelmed the postmaster was at that time, and saw that he was trying to do all the mail and the letters and couldn't possibly get them all out for Santa Claus on time. So my father started helping him, and that's really, I think, how you might say the organization of letters started, because I, of course, was born in 31, but I started answering letters when I was about 10 or 11, 12, and my dad always had letters in his car, and he took them around to different homes, and the sisters at the monastery of St. Benedict and Ferdinand, and the priests at St. Minard Abbey, and the Dale High School typing class, and just dropped them off, and people worked on them, and but they got done. And I just remember my dad having boxes of letters in his car and bringing them home to my house, and he and I would sit down while my mother was getting the evening meal, and we would be helping Santa do letters, and my mother would, don't get any ink on my tablecloth. And so that's really how it started, I think, being, what shall I say, more organized, even though now we don't let people take them home because of the danger of somebody saying something that isn't right, or, well, we have to be very careful with the child's name and address, and we are. So the letters are not taken out of the room.
95 years since your father started this tradition, what do you think he would think of the amount of mail, the fact that his daughter is still doing this, and the operation that goes on there today? What would he think of it today?
Oh, I think he would be so happy. I know he would. He would be, visiting. He would be cheering us on. He would be delighted because he passed away when he was 90 years old in 84. And in 84, we got the group of volunteers incorporated as Sanchez Elves Incorporated so we could be a not-for-profit. Because, Scott, can you imagine the postage, how much the postage costs? I don't even have a number right now, but I know that it's extreme. Well, it goes up every year, right? And foreign letters are over $1.50, I believe, now. And we get a lot of, last year we got letters from 22 foreign countries. So you can imagine the cost. And, of course, when Santa and my dad were doing it, they were 3 cents, I believe. That's what it was when I was a little kid. So it's a big difference. And so he would just, I think he'd be amazed and very happy.
I think you're exactly right. What do you think it was about him that got him involved in this back in 1930?
I know what it is. being as old as I am and growing up in that area and having him help Santa so much, I just have all this. And I've written, there's a book called Santa's Daughter that is available at the museum. And it tells, a whole chapter is on him and his, the way he lived and his journey. He joined the Navy when he was 19 years old, and he was on the USS New York in Brooklyn Navy Yard when sailors decided to have a party for children. And they were all prepared, and then somebody said, well, where's Santa Claus? We need Santa Claus. And they said, there's somebody in the engine room that says he's from Santa Claus. Let's go ask him. So they asked him. Now he's 19 years old. And, Santa Claus was really busy, and they said, will you stand in for Santa Claus here? And he said, of course I will. So I have a picture. I'm in my bed, my living room, and I have a picture of him on board that ship. And he's surrounded by children on this deck of the USS New York. And he wrote and told me personally that when he saw the joy that that brought to those children, he made a vow to God that if he lived through the war, he would do this when he returned to his home place. And that's what he did. And he didn't just, do what he did. He also helped in so many ways to help make children happy. So that was how he started when he was 19 years old, and he never forgot it. Returned 14 years later, married and with a son, and then I was born in this part of the world. But, it was one man who thought, this is making children so happy. I need to continue this. And found the postmaster inundated with letters and helped him. So I always say my father was a great example of a person who really believed that you're here to help people, to serve, to make help people in need, help people who who need help. And he did that for veterans. He started the American Legion Post, helped them get their their pensions, and started so many things in the area. Just a very giving, humble servant of God. And that's a great, great example to follow, almost too hard.
Absolutely. We've got about 18 minutes left in our interview here. Pat, it always goes by so fast. How did Santa Claus, Indiana, become a place? How did that happen?
That's an interesting story. We have a document in the museum building. There are three buildings on our campus. One is like a warehouse, or it is Holiday World uses part of it to work on rides, and we have a part of it. And that contains all the historic documents. We have a train room with a great display of trains. Santa's there. There's a small Lincoln collection, Santa Claus Land collection. Really interesting. But one of the most important things is a document that says in January 8, 1856, the postmaster from Fulda, which is about 15 minutes away, decided that this town called Santa Fe, my grandma Apollonia Shue always called it Santa Fe. I didn't know that that was the name, but I know that's what she called it. When this document went into, on the document it says Washington City, January 8, 1856, Santa Fe up in the corner. And somebody wrote, choose another name than Santa Fe. There was already a post office called Santa Fe in Indiana. Now, why they didn't see the two E's, I don't know. But somebody said, choose another name than Santa Fe. Some person, we know not who, wrote Santa Claus, and of course everything was written, no computers, scratched through that with black ink, and then wrote something that looks like seedlick, and also marked that through that. Then up above that, somebody wrote Santa Claus with an E on close, with clause, which is not correct. There is no E on clause. Whoever that person was, we know not who that was, named the town in January 8, 1856. And it's on that document. But the magic of that is that the postmaster from Fulda, who made the application, was his personal name was Nicolaus Fisher. And so Nicolaus asked for, was the man who asked for the post office, and it was named Santa Claus. I don't know if that's why it was named Santa Claus, because of his name, possibly. I don't know. But that is the truth. There is a legend, which is much kind of more interesting. The legend is that the town folks were together in the grocery store having a meeting on Christmas Eve and talking about their town and trying to decide on a name. And they heard a reindeer, they heard bells, the doors flung open, and they heard a ho, 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 and the children shouted Santa Claus, and the townspeople said, that's it, that's the name. That is a legend, not documented anywhere, but repeated many times.
I like the legend, and I like the actual story. I think they both work. You know, I was just thinking, Pat, I believe it's now $15.60 for a book of stamps. If somebody listening to this wanted to help with the cost of the stamps or wanted to help in any way, and maybe they're in a different state, but they still would like to help, how would they do that?
Well, they would make a donation, you know, with a check or money order or whatever. But I swear that that donation will be used for the postage. We had a tour of people the other day from South Carolina, and I told them some of those stories, and a lady just came and put a $20 bill in my hand. And, you know, that helps. That really helps. Because if we have to make it up if we don't get enough donations, which we rarely get enough donations, because the price of stamps just goes up and up every year. But we always cover it. We get it done. So
it is something that is in need. So if people would like to help with the cost of stamps, and maybe you're in another state, the address is
P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579.
What a better thing to do this time of year. I can't think of one. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now, Pat, what is Santa Claus, Indiana, like in the summer? What's it like to live there in general?
Well, it's always Santa Claus, Indiana, and of course there are signs on the interstate saying Santa Claus. We're very busy with the wonderful theme park there, amusement park, Holiday World. And then, you know, different places have sprouted up. There's a Candy Castle, which was built in 35. The museum is open in the summer. It's very busy. Santa Claus Museum and Village. There's a visitor center, which has a lot of information, a lot of great things, and will help you find your way around. There's a Lincoln Park and Lincoln National Park, Lincoln State Park, only a few miles down the road with everything about Abraham Lincoln. The town is very busy in the summertime, very busy with the park and the events that go on in the summertime. And then at this time, like October, November, December, very busy. January, February, March, it goes to sleep. We're very tired. And there's a wonderful Christmas store. It's like one you would see in New York. Beautiful, wonderful things to purchase. And then there's Santa's Toys, a standalone building. I can't think of everything, but there's a lot to do. There really is. A lot of things to see. And, of course, nearby the St. Modern Arch Abbey, which is a beautiful building, historic building in Ferdinand, the Sisters of St. Benedict, and they have a large, they're calling it a pyramid. It's a German candle-like thing that goes around, and it's a huge 32 inches tall, I think. There are just so many things to do, really, in the summer. And Holiday World has drone shows at night, closing, people stay. There's a campground, wonderful campground. I think I've mentioned most things. I hope I haven't left. A couple of good restaurants. We have good pizza. And so there's just a lot to do. And, of course, the weather's much nicer than now, being so cold. But we have a lot of visitors right now coming to send their letters or just to visit the town.
How many people are a part of your operation there?
Well, you know, it varies because, if anybody wants to come, and you're in Ohio, right? We get a lot of visitors from Ohio. We really do. There's a thing called Sign Up Genius, and the lady who manages the works of the museum keeps track. Like this morning, I looked, and we have 6 people coming in to help Santa answer letters. So we could take approximately 8 more people. There are seats for 14. So that's a way we can keep track of how many people we already have and how many we need. And so we will take walk-ins, but sometimes that way we know how many people are already coming. If you got what I'm saying, we can prepare for that. But it takes time to learn how to answer every letter because I'm very particular. We should respect it and take care that we are doing it with respect and love.
Pat, how many letters came in last year? We don't know the total number this year.
We know last year it was over 23,000.
23,000. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
It is routinely 20,000 to 30,000. And I think it was less during COVID. Probably people didn't get out to do that. But we got to a different building where we could separate and wear masks and be safe. So we did manage to get them done. But this looks like a boomer year. It really does. I'm really afraid, and I'm glad we had a night like last night when so many people came. It's a small room, and it's hard to get around and move, and we have to move every once in a while. There were many very good volunteers, and they love doing it, and it brings people together and brings them back to the good Christmas spirit of taking care of other people, you know, making people happy. So
far this year, what have we learned that kids are asking for?
Well, you know, It isn't a lot of puppies, a lot of dogs and cats. And Santa never promises anything because we don't, nobody knows for sure. And Santa can't tell us every child's wish. There's still some like earbuds and Lamborghinis. And I think it's still squishimals. Those are just little fluffy toys, animals or whatever. Dinosaurs. Dinosaurs kids always like, I think. Unicorns. There aren't any. I think Elf on the Shelf has kind of died away. There aren't too many of those anymore. It hasn't been as uniform as like when Elf on the Shelf came off, every child wanted an Elf on the Shelf. Well, that sort of passed on, you know. So this year it's just really a hodgepodge of things. Amazing. A lot of the a lot of the girls, which kind of disturbs me, want makeup, even very young girls, makeup and jewelry and things like that. But I guess that's a girly thing.
You know, it's very interesting you mentioned that about Elf on a Shelf, because I remember probably 10, 15 years ago, social media really led this, but you could not wake up any morning in December and not see where the Elf on a Shelf had been. People took pictures, they posted them on social media, everybody had one, and I don't think I have seen one Elf on a Shelf picture yet on social media, so I think that maybe in the downturn, you never know.
It's so very true. And the letters used to be, oh, please tell Twinkle hello and bring her back. You know, the children were really, really worried about their Elf on the Shelf. And a lot of letters were about, and we had to explain that to some of the volunteers who didn't know about that. Yes, it was really quite something for a long time. Well, I know a family that went to Costa Rica, and all of a sudden realized there were no elves on the shelf and immediately made an emergency call and had elves on the shelf shipped down there for the children. So it was a big thing. But, yes, I think just every once in a while somebody mentions it, but very rarely.
Pat, what does Santa Claus and Christmas mean to you?
Oh, my goodness. I think it means happiness. I think it means how it should be all year long. That atmosphere of people being happy, being joyful, sharing, rejoicing, praying, remembering to go to church, being kinder. Being more kind, all those things that we should be all year long. And it's an atmosphere, really. I mean, right now, when people visit the museum, it's, Merry Christmas! Oh, Merry Christmas! And I mean, even when that's said with meaning, it makes you feel good, right? And so I have a little plaque in my house, and it has helped me to keep Christmas all year long. It's so true, isn't it? We should.
we should absolutely
be that same kind giving person all year long.
We absolutely should. We've got about 5 minutes left here, and I wanted to get this in because I think this is one of the funniest, most interesting letters in this book. Now, this is from the 1940s, 1947, I believe, and this actually spawned a national story. Now, here's the story that was actually in the newspaper. It says, widow asks Santa for a new husband. Santa Claus, Indiana, December 13th. A 47-year-old Columbus, Ohio widow today added her Christmas wants to the appeals of 35,000 children who have written letters to Santa Claus. In a letter received here at Santa Claus, Indiana, she wrote, I want a good husband for Christmas. She hopes her future mate will be found on a farm right inside Indiana, and her letter pleads with Santa to have the man write me at once so that I may really be his Christmas gift wife. And a letter came in on December the 9th that said, Dear Postmaster, just a few minutes ago, I heard via the radio how a woman wrote in to you that she wanted a husband for Christmas this year. I think I have the man. He is tall, stately, well-bred, a man of wealth, and a steady income from his real estate job. Although there are a few gray hairs beneath his hat, he wears them well. A smile on his face, money in his pockets. What more could a woman ask for? And that was 1947.
Yeah. Well, and they're still coming that way, asking for boyfriends and husbands. That comes up just every day.
Really? Really? Still around like that?
Yep. Still there. Still there.
What's the most interesting letter you've come across this year that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I think the one from the child that said, "I hope I make the soccer team so my parents will be proud of me." It just stayed with me about that child, and I hope he made the soccer team, but I hope his parents are proud of him for what he is. I just, you know, it just sort of hurt. But, oh, we've gotten some that are just so funny. I'm trying to think of one, but I know one that I never did forget, and that is the one that I think is just wonderful. "Dear Santa, please make my dad smarter." This truly happened about 2 years ago. A child sent the key. He said, "We don't have a chimney, so I'm sending the front door key." And he had the front door key in the letter. And we tracked that down and sent it back to the parents. And one little boy said, "You know, if you need a little cash, Santa, go to the left in that room. There's a desk. There'll be some money there for you." So they're wonderful, they're sad, they're beautiful. Some of them are just scratching, you don't know anything, but mothers help out. And I know the other day one of the volunteers, "This baby isn't even born and the mother wants a letter." And I said, "Absolutely, it'll be born, maybe at Christmas." So everything's answered unless that letter contains obscene, dirty, nasty things. We don't bother answering that. That's not what we're doing, right?
Absolutely.
Every letter, if it doesn't have an address, we put it in a folder. So if Mama calls and says, "My child didn't get a letter," we can say, "Your child did not have an address," and we couldn't answer. So we really, really try. We really do. Help Santa, because he's so busy. He can't do them all himself.
Absolutely right. Pat, we've got about 2 minutes left here, and I wanted to ask you, you're 94. Are you afraid that with you this tradition might end, or are you sure this is going to continue?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure. Yes. I have a daughter, and she's very interested on the board of the museum, was there last night helping. And volunteers, the community. This community really cares about this town. And, you know, we're so fortunate. We've had so many people move into this area from New York and Los Angeles, California, and different places because it's a beautiful part of the world. Indiana is rolling hills. And one man said, "The people are friendly, and they pick up litter. We love it." So it's very rural, and we're not going to change. We're not going to become neon and glitter. We're just hometown folks who love people and love Santa Claus.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I want to mention one more time the address. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Try to get these letters out by the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th of this month so your child will get a letter back from Santa Claus. If you've got a grandkid, a child, this niece, nephew, maybe somebody on the way, somebody, there's nothing better than getting a letter from Santa Claus this time of year. It's a wonderful thing. We've been doing this many years. It's become a tradition here, and it's one of my favorite things. And Pat Cook, thank you for all the work you've done. You've helped so many kids over the years by what you've done and your father started. It truly is a magical thing that goes on there in Santa Claus, Indiana, and I am going to get there one day without question.
So.
Pat, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And Scott, thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Pat Cook, Santa's favorite elf. We do that each and every year, and I would not miss it. The address, Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. We'll be back right after this. company.
Claxton Bakery.
Oh, is this Claxton?
This is Claxton, yes.
Yes, is this the place where they make the fruitcakes?